Everybody get in okay? Yes? A little response? This is an interactive talk, so we need you guys to actually be vocal here. Did everybody get in okay?
Yeah!
All right, that's much better. Everybody in the front who's hacking, raise your hands. Let's get a head count here. All right, looks like about 50 people here. Did everybody get their IP address? All right. The network's live. Is everybody on it? Do a quick sanity check and ping 10-10-0-17. And give me a thumbs up once you did that. We got one thumb over here. All right. All right. So while they're getting all started on that, hello, my name is Robert Imhoff, and this is my co-pilot over here, John Ripshey Duncan. We have a really special thing for you guys today. We're going to show you in real time with the real credit card network how to break into it and send your own rogue packets. So first, let's talk about the presentation in a little more detail. This interactive demonstration will give you the first-hand experience in... I thought while you guys were packing in, we'll give you some Richard Cheese. He's a great lounge singer locally. Everybody heard of him, right? All right. All right, this interactive demonstration will give first-hand experience, understanding and searching out credit card traffic on a TCP network. It'll also demonstrate how to deconstruct, rebuild, and transmit rogue credit card packets. As an added bonus, prizes will be handed out to those who can craft and transmit rogue packets by the end of speech. My incentives and guidelines will illustrate how vulnerable credit card data is on merchant networks. And we'll talk a little bit more about what those prizes are in a few minutes. So let's give you a really quick, brief thing. I was hoping I was going to get 2 hours this year. I got 50 minutes instead. History of credit cards, 1961, Diners Club, first one, 1971, Bank AmeriCard, which is now Visa Card, or Visa, 1971 as well, MasterCard went international, and Discover Card, 1987. Why do I bring all this up on that? Front-end processors, we talked about that last year. Hopefully you guys hit up the website and researched that a little bit. Bank AmeriCard's problem was that they couldn't have all of their issuing banks who issued out credit cards have all their phone numbers in a terminal in order for somebody to go to every single bank to get an authorization at their merchant. So they created front-end processors where you call one number, that processor can build everything up and check the merchants and see where it has to go and then gets an authorization through there. Methods of connection, back in the day, of course, it was just dial-up modem. As of right now, it's 1,200 baud. Even the dial-ups today on all the terminals you guys see that are non-credit card networks, it's 1,200 baud. They just didn't want to redo the infrastructure, and they felt they didn't have to. It's just small data to get an authorization. So it's a 1,200 baud dial-in. There's direct lease lines to the banks and the front-end processors. That's for, like, MGM, big resorts, stuff like that, Disney World. And, of course, gateways, which gateways are like CC Auth, iBill for all you blue light site guys out there. PayPal, it's a quasi gateway bank, everything, and Go Networks, IC Verify, all that fun stuff, and they all just connect to them, and then they have all the lease lines to the bank, so it saves you a lot of overhead costs. Industry leaders, we're just going to skip over that for now. Credit card networks, general flow of a credit card network, connection methods, and discriminating traffic. Let's get the topology out. The green terminal there, pretend that's just like the front desk point-of-sale device at a hotel. It connects to another master server at the site that actually negotiates all the traffic that goes out and gets encrypted, goes across the internet to get authorization. As of right now, it's about 50-50 for as many e-commerce sites that are out there. There's about the same amount of brick and mortar that are actually doing online transactions through the internet right now. So it goes from that directly to the front-end processor or through a gateway, and that's the flow we're going to look at. So what we're going to actually attack here is between the green computer and the orange computer, because the orange computer and the aqua circle is all encrypted. It's very well secured. It's very hard to grab and attack. So this is what everybody would consider like SSL or any other kind of encryption method that you might use across the internet. So how do we get across all that? Well, we just attack the network directly because everything's clear text. If you remember from the speech last year, everything's ASCII, as we'll show you in a minute. So definitions, just to keep up with me, FEP, front-end processor, LUNMA, that's the credit card checksum algorithm, back-end, that's the merchant acquiring network, issuer, that's who issues the credit cards, which I'm going to show you guys how to issue your own credit cards to yourselves for my network. Authorization code, six-digit authorization code comes back if it was, in fact, an approved transaction. Pre-authorization confirmation number is all it really is. Merchant IDs, this is very important because the merchant ID is what you want to find, locate, because that's the golden nugget to hijack a merchant's network. Terminal IDs, some of them will require a sub-terminal ID. You might have to also grab that as well. Okay, so credit card packets, let's talk about that. I'm going to slow it down for just a minute here. And while I'm slowing it down and talking about this, John, can you pop into the login screen? Everybody, if you've got a web browser on your computers here, go to 1010.0.17. That'll show you what's on the right screen over there. No, over here. Yeah, just right. Okay, once you guys get to 1010.0.17 on your web browsers, it should show you the live screen over there. Well, it's just not over there anymore. That's the, what's that? You read it? No, you got that E in there. Oh, well, liked it. Okay, this is actually our proxy authorization. Dig through and try and find it in there somewhere over here. Okay, while he works out the details there. Account create, CC account create. Okay, it's create. Okay, go to 1010.0.17/credit/create.php, and that'll take you to where you can create your own credit card account on our system.
Then go into a web browser and do that. Just show them what it looks like.
Okay, once you get in there, just go ahead and create everything, and that'll give you a credit card number. It'll actually take you back to the login screen. It's very important. I do not have the prizes here today. They're all going to be either emailed to you for the grand prize, or it's going to be mailed to you for all the T-shirts and bumper stickers and everything. So please have a valid email address. It will not be distributed to anyone, and it's only on my system. I will not have it publicly up here anywhere. So for the people down in front and everything, let's talk about those credit card packets while we're lock and loading. So all credit card packets are standard network packets. What we can look forward to in these is standard STX at the beginning of the packet for the startup text, and an ETX at the end of the packet, and maybe an LRC or something like that. Everything in between is the actual credit card data itself. It's pretty much that simple. If you're looking to decrypt it or anything like that, is it in hex? Is it in some weird offset thing? No, it's just clear text. So you're just going to grab that stuff. Do we have any questions as of yet from you guys? None of you guys have questions, or are you still trying to get to the server? What's that? Yes, question over there. That's absolutely true. The question was if they want to get a whole gob of credit cards, if they just can tap into a 1200 baud line from the terminal. Is that what you were talking about? So yeah, that's pretty much all you have to do if you want to do it on the terminal level. Did you find it? Okay, if you look over on this screen right here, if you see the URL up there, that's where you guys need to be right now to create your account. You can't get to it? Okay, 1010.0.17/credit/create.php. credit/create.php. Has anybody gotten there yet? I don't know what your deal is, man. I kid. You have an account created. Okay. Okay, see, there's all everybody's accounts in there. Hooray. So we got this far, guys. Okay, we already know what's required. We've already been through all that. Rules of engagement. Connecting to IPs. We reserve the right to capture and save your traffic. No network flooding. We should have people walking around. You can please do that. Anybody in the back, that guy right there, either go all the way to the back or shut your laptop down. And please, I know it'd be really fun and awesome, and you know, I wish I had had my ass hat here for the guy we catch doing that to just like totally bring down the network, but we'd really like to be able to do this like sanely and everything, please. Okay, prizes, grand prize. I was going to have a $50 bar tab to any bar of your choosing in this vicinity, but since I'm doing it the very last day, I'm just going to give a $50 gift certificate to Think Geek for first person to crack through. They cheer for the Think Geek, all right. And, of course, you'll get a Credit Card Network t-shirt. We're going to have Swiper. If you guys have kids or anything out there, Dora the Explorer, we're going to have Swiper with his credit card saying Swiper, no Swipey, and that you hacked a Credit Card Network at DEF CON. And runners-up, you'll get some shirts as well and bumper stickers and all that. You know, I break for credit cards, crap like that. I don't know yet. But that'll all come through Cafe Press, so I'll set you up on a private line where you can just pop in with your code and just get a free shirt off there. So with that said, let's go ahead and get everything started. So at this point, I'm just going to pause, activate the AP, which is already happening, turn on the authorization host, and turn on packet generator.
So authorization host is on, accounting software is on. Bring that one up. Actually,
yes, that's true.
American Expresses are valid at 15 digits. 15 and 16 digits are okay. Okay, what we have here is, this is my random traffic generator here. If you look on the to my left, I guess your left there, that's the authorizations coming in, and the one on your right, that's the authorizations that we're spoofing. So just to let you know, the traffic's going. So right now, you want to bust out with your Ethereal and your PCAP and all that, or libpcap and all that stuff, and start finding that traffic. So while you're finding that traffic, I'm going to minimize these, and I'm going to pull up an Ethereal, and we're going to go through this step by step, how to identify these packets. And just ignore all those SQL queries you might see floating around out there. Okay, we're back up over there. All right, so initial packet analysis. Does anybody have any Ethereals or anything like that running and grabbing packets? You grabbing packets? Everybody's grabbing packets? Okay, so the first thing we want to do is take a guess at which port the credit card traffic might be running on. Can anybody take a stab at that? Anybody? What's that?
23?
No. 22? Yeah, all my credit cards are going to cost 22, guy. But are you participating? Are you sniffing the packets? It's not 520. You're looking for destination port, not source port. Is it live? Okay, if we're looking over on the screen to your right, let's scroll all the way back over.
Where are you, boys?
Well, you're not live, that's fine.
You are live.
Okay, who's running the DHCP server? If you could please bring that down.
Is this updating? Can you check it? No, click right here. Check and make sure it's on mine updating. Check it, make sure it's still running. It's stuck. Cancel it.
Getting colder there.
Did it go?
That's going. Okay, it just stalled. Okay. Okay, now start looking for it. Now that we got them running again. What's that? 10,000 is correct. Who said that? Raise your hand. All right. Thank you. Okay, so now we found that it's on 10,000. Let's talk about all the traffic that's coming across on 10,000 here. So I'm going to sit down, go ahead and just look at the screens and everything since I'm going to be sitting here, hiding behind the laptop. So we got the stuff on 10,000.
Okay, once you see it, I think it stopped again. Yes.
And we have too many connections. How can we have too many connections? Are people already sending data on 10,000? Okay, now try it again. Alright. Now, once we get something up. Your port's already here. Okay.
That's it right there.
So, scroll up. And down.
Keeps crashing.
Okay, whoever's sending out bunk data that's crashing my script. And run it again. Did you stop it? Start it again. Nice. Okay, who's on 41? You connected. Who's on 41? You guys remember your IPs? You connected? Okay. Well, he's the first one to actually connect on the port, so let's pause the script. Actually, we're going to kill that. That's perfect. Okay, we're just going to look over to your left there. And we're just going to look at a packet that we grabbed, I guess, off of Ethereal, since it didn't come through correctly. If you see right here, this...
Yes.
Is that better, guys? Okay, you guys can see the smiley face where it says CC auth? That is our packet that we sent across. Has anybody captured a packet? So now you're looking for that in the 1,000 stuff that's coming across. Okay, so this is our packet. So looking at this packet right here, and I'll try and see if I can highlight it for you guys.
Yeah, we can see it.
Okay, he's going to just have this laptop feeding everything to the screens. For you guys who can see over here, I'll try my best to work with you on this. What's that? Shoot. Maybe some Richard Cheese while we work out the logistical problems. Uninterested have left. I'm glad to see that some of you have stuck around to stick it out and see this to the end. Okay, has anybody captured enough anywhere in their ether reel to actually have a packet on port 10,000? Does anybody have an actual packet on 10,000? You have a packet on 10,000. Very good. What do you see on that, sir? The first part of it should be a bunch of junk. Look for where it says CC off at the beginning of it. Okay. You got that much so far? Okay, perfect. I guess my slides are kind of moot at this point. So once you have that packet, what you want to do is you want to figure out a way to capture that packet into... I guess the first thing we do when we're looking at that packet is just looking for the obviouses. What looks like a credit card number. If you grab multiple different packets from different sources, we had 4 credit cards going at the same time. Look at consistencies. To get merchant IDs and everything. If something always starts off 43448 or something like that, on every single packet that you see, that's a constant. And when you're dealing with credit card packets, constants usually mean embedded stuff like merchant IDs and terminal IDs and as such, or maybe a clerk ID or something like that. Who's a what? Okay, so anybody else have a packet? Yes, you have a question. No, this is not a law enforcement badge. It's a cheap trick. Okay, so... on that, we're going to look for those consistencies and we're going to mark those off. The best way to, like... What's that?
Four loops.
They're
great.
Okay, so on these packets and everything, have you been able to figure out what's a merchant ID or maybe what's a credit card number, sir? Not yet? Yes, you figured out a credit card? Okay. And on that credit card, now you can take those offsets. Now, when you're trying to break into a network and you're doing this in real time, once you have that credit card and everything, you want to count it out and everything. See the whole packet from STX to ETX? And you want to count the offsets starting with 0. So if that credit card started at 2 and ended at 18, now you know that that's always going to be your credit card. One way to go through this is you can parse through the data. In my slide, I do show an example of parsing through data. one way if you don't want to just do the eyeball thing, or doing the eyeball thing is just too cryptic. Yes, sir, in the back. Okay, let's back up for a second and talk about how we're accessing this network. I'll tell you a story about my friend Brandon. Okay, he went to a theater, and he happened to notice that Brandon went to a theater was sending all their credit cards across a wireless network. This is my apple juice from last night's Leetus Link. Thank you. Okay. So when he was at that theater, Brandon, and he was just happened to be on his... Oh, somebody caught it. All right. He happened to be on his wireless laptop because he was in the general area, just in a 2600 meeting, ironically enough. And he happened to lock onto a... He happened to lock onto a open network. And when he started sniffing on that open network, he happened to notice that there was credit card data coming across, much less cryptic than I have mine here. Very cryptic, as you can tell. And so he made an effort to tell them, you know, you should lock this down, da-da-da-da. They didn't listen. It took them like a month and a half before it got locked on. But the point is that they literally just said, oh, new technology, wireless. Let's just plug everything into it. Don't worry about web. Don't worry about any personal encryption or anything like that. Yes. Home Depot's. Or I should say my good friends in Michigan there, having fun over at Lowe's. That's a perfect example of what I'm talking about here, is that they were just able to lock on and then just grab credit cards off the network. And in my dealings in the industry, it's very disturbing sometimes to see that a lot of these people, they're very good at what they do at their business. They're accountants, they're controllers, they're credit managers and everything. They know how to balance very large checkbooks and that kind of stuff, but they don't know how to secure a network. And further, you think, well, they passed that duty over to their IT department. Well, when you want to have the latest and greatest fast credit card action and everything, but you're a four-bedroom hotel, or motel, rather, and you just have this going across, you just use cheap technology, cheap wireless links, that kind of stuff. Don't encrypt it because you don't know how. Don't have an IT department because you only have a four-bedroom bed and breakfast. And you can just literally drive up to these places and just grab it. And in my dealings with different things here and there, I've heard a lot of stories. Experienced a lot of things firsthand that have shown that this is a huge problem. And in proving that this is a huge problem, I just send my own credit cards across this network for you guys to sniff out and grab on your own. On that, wow, a lot of participants. So has anybody been able to figure out the design of the packet yet? Anybody? I know we had one guy here who grabbed some stuff, another guy who figured out where the credit card number is. Another thing is, well, you know what your expiration date and your card number is, because once you created your login account on here, you can log in and get your credit card information. Does everybody figure that one out yet? Yes? Any feedback? Oh, they're working really hard over here. Okay, so they have their own credit card numbers, their own expiration dates. So now let's say you figure out what that credit card number is. You got to figure out where the expiration date is in that packet. And you can just, once again, parse through the data. You can just start parsing two lines at a time and saying, does this start with 01 through 12? Okay, these two bytes do start with 01 through 12. Okay, check the next two bytes after. We all know that credit cards are probably either going to expire this year or have expired from years before this. So we can just say anything 04 and past is just nothing. But we can say most credit cards don't go any further than, as of right now, 08. So you say, okay, look for 01 to 12, and then once you locate that, you have your parsing agent and say, okay, check the next two and check and see if it says 08. So now you can say 05, 08, that's probably a credit card number, and you can have that dump out into some output and with the offsets to check that. Yes? Four-digit. Oh, no, two-digit, I'm sorry. They generally use two-digit years because on the credit card it's still two-digit year. And on that, another good point I wanted to bring up about all this is, and I didn't put it in my packets here that you see, since you're hitting up the from the point-of-sale terminal to the actual credit card engine at the site, and it's all clear text, there's certain information that the bank wants to know, and that information is swipe data. Everybody familiar with what swipe data is? The stuff on the back of your card.
Hands out the books.
That's very true. Yeah. Track. The question was, does the discretionary data on track 2 go across the wire? And yes, it does. On a debit transaction, now this is a very good point. On debit transactions, they require that from the terminal itself, the PIN pad itself, that it must be encrypted from the PIN pad. Now, the credit card number itself does not have to be encrypted, but the PIN itself does, in fact, have to be encrypted from the PIN pad. So this routine would not work with PIN numbers and the such. Just set up a video camera out front, some ATM somewhere. The packet size itself? Oh, the payload size, it's going to be under a K normally. It's going to be like 305 bits, or maybe even 305 bytes. It's really not that big. It's like maybe 1-2 K at max. And that's if you have a lot of extended data on that packet. And by the way, extended data is each industry has to have its own special data, like hotels have to have check-in, check-out, that kind of stuff. When you're dealing with business-to-business, you have to have corporate information go across. That's all extended data. So, but yeah, you'll actually get the entire swipe. You'll even get CVV2 codes. This is the only part in the whole loop from the terminal all the way to the bank where you'll be able to get a CVV2 code. Well, the good example of how that works is if you swipe your card and it does not swipe and you're just swiping it through the terminal over and over and over again and you just can't get it to read, they have to manually key your card, right? And as a fraud prevention item, they have to look on the back of your card, read off the 3-digit CVV2 code, and then punch it into the terminal. But the terminal doesn't know if it's a valid code, right? So where does it have to go? Somewhere else besides the terminal. So in transit to somewhere else, you can grab that CVV2 code. Yes, sir.
What's that?
They have track 1, track 2, and track 3. Track 1 and track 2 are only used for credit cards. Track 3 is for preferred cards, personal cards, gift cards, that kind of stuff. Track 1, it starts off with the percent B sentinel, and it goes in the first line, and it's delimited by carrots, standard carrot stuff. So you'll first see a carrot, then you'll see the name that's as it's seen on the front of the card, then another carrot, then you'll see the full credit card number, and then you'll see another carrot, and then you'll see the expiration date, and then after that, some, a little bit of discretionary data, then you'll have a question mark, and then semicolon will start the track 2 stuff, and then once that starts, it's once again, it's going to start with the credit card number, then it's going to say equals, and then expiration date, and then discretionary data, and ends with another question mark. And that's an entire mag read, and I'm probably going to get in trouble for saying that really loud in here. Oh, well. What's that? Oh, well then, no worries, right? It's not the first time it's been said out loud what is exactly on track 1 and track 2, so hopefully the first time I can get toted out. So that's that. So now on the CVV2 code, it's very important to know that in the terminal it cannot be stored. In the server, that's the credit card server, it cannot be stored. When it hits the bank, it cannot be stored. It's only a pass-through item. It only sits in buffer until it can go all the way to the bank, and the bank will just verify it right out of buffer. It will not read it or write it anywhere, and all it's going to do is send a response back whether it's valid. It won't even echo back the CVV2 code. Well, coming from firsthand, 90% of the time it does not echo back the CVV2 code. Often, that's a very good point. The regulation states that it's not supposed to be stored, but I've been in a lot of situations where I had to chase after people with sticks and everything and explain to them that they cannot store it because a lot of different mail order and everything, they want to do periodic billing and get a better rate by having CVV2, but they can't store that, so they have to just suck it up, I guess. Well, it depends on the vendor, because in some situations the software is actually locked down that you have to provide them the CV2, otherwise they'll not honor your card. And sometimes you can say, look, I do not want to issue this to you. I do not want to hand this to you. And if they say, if it's a clerk, they're making $6.50 an hour, they might just say, okay, whatever, and just put it through without the CVV2 code. But if the software itself restricts it, then you have to provide it or not get your goods.
We have time. We have no time.
Got it. Okay. So any other questions while these guys are hacking away? The presentation is showing audience Q&A on this while these guys are trying to turn in. Say that again? Okay, that's AVS, Address Verification System. And mail order telephone order is required to send it across. In some situations, a lot of situations you can send it without and get an authorization without the AVS information. But in a lot of situations, they're actually going to decline cards if they don't get AVS. And they're trying to do that right now with the gas industry because everybody here knows where the first place you go when you steal a credit card, right? Yes. You go to the gas station, right? It's a CAT terminal. You just walk up. There's no cameras. Swipe the card. Nobody checking your ID. Get like a buttload of gas. You even stick some plastic bags and everything and take off. It's free gas. So gas stations have actually said this is just getting way too out of hand. They pay a lot of money to have to deal with that in accepting credit cards. So simply by adding a zip code to the terminal, okay, you swipe the card, enter your zip code in, and then we'll check and see if it's a valid card and that zip code matches, then we'll give you the gas. That's like cut the fraud on gas pumps in half on all stations that use it. If you guys have driven up here, you might have already experienced that, getting gas at the pump. Southern California and I-5 going straight up to Northern California, there's a lot of gas stations now that have implemented on that corridor because that's a popular I'm getting the hell out of Dodge corridor. Do we have any other questions from the audience? Oh, one over there, yes. And I think you just wrapped up the entire point of my speech in saying that. I'll repeat what he was saying. He's saying that, granted, the SSL comes across the internet, but once it gets in, it gets free-formed into like an email and then sent to the owner of the company in order to get approval later on and everything. But there's like no real accountability right now as far as the industry is concerned on the merchant to have these encrypted data in place at all. So. Are you talking about CISP? Okay, CISP, that's the Cardholder Information Security Program that's hosted by Visa, and they have the Digital Dozen, and the Digital Dozen is made up of 12 basic practices that you need to know if you're going to be doing credit cards across the internet. And some of the stuff's really like obvious but kind of cheese when you look at it from a security standpoint. It's like, have a firewall in place. Well, okay. You know, minimize access to data physically. Yeah. You only have certain user level accounts. Okay, that's a little bit more technical. But it's really, it's very, very basic stuff. And that CISP, and it only currently applies to major online vendors that they want to target to get money off of, and bank gateway processors right now. The individual merchant in the next 5 to 6 quarters is actually going to be attacked on that program, but they only have to take a survey and they can lie about that survey as far as CISP is concerned. Yes? Actually, NDA says I cannot. The question was, talk more about the encryption in PIN pads, and NDA, I cannot talk about that. Yes, sir? I'm sorry, can you repeat that a little louder? Actually, there's two different steps. The question was, is it true that the text and address is verified against the host? There's two answers to that, yes and no. It depends on the bank, back-end bank. Usually what they'll do is they'll take the numbers of your street address and they'll parse that out and only check that. Some banks will actually take the whole thing and they actually have an algorithm with space padding to actually check to see if it's kind of, you know, they'll use like a regular expression. Is it kind of what it's supposed to be? Yeah, then that's fine. It's a verified address. And some of them do exact, which is starting to be a little bit more fluid and working out better. But if you live at 1010 Shady Lane and you spelled it on your bank account as LN and you typed it into our website as L-A-N-E, then it's going to come back as a false negative and decline your card because you didn't say L-N, you said L-A-N-E. Does that make sense? So that's why they don't really check the text as much, because of stuff like that, like Avenue and A-V-E, you know, Street and S-T. That last part is actually killing a lot of it for verification of the actual text itself. Any other questions or comments? If you want to check the status of your account, go to the create.php, and there should be a link in there that says log in now. Yes, you in the black.
I understand that the main part of this encrypted, but it is not encrypted from where the cards, but from the conversion to the server. How exactly do you get that encrypted?
Say that last part again. The question was, how do you get between the merchant and the credit card company? You just walk up to the front door with the laptop and walk right in. The point is, it's like wireless. Another good example, I use hotel industries a lot because that's a lot of the industry that I've been working in for the last 2 years. They have been adding high-speed internet access to the hotel rooms, you know, plugs that you can plug in. They've also been adding like wireless connections throughout the lobby and throughout the rooms and everything. And I'd say 4 times out of every 10, what you're going to run into is they're going to not put that on its own VLAN. They're not going to put it on a client VLAN or segregate it to the network completely. They're just going to just mix it in with all their general traffic. So you can just check into the hotel, plug in, and grab everybody's credit cards while you stay there. You know? Like at the San Tropez, yes. So segregating the networks and everything is a big issue that's not being addressed right now. Well, this is kind of a... Okay, the question is what is the liability of a merchant if somebody actually breaks in and steals their credit cards and go all postal with it and they find out it came from this merchant? And the answer is liabilities can be half and half depending on the situation. If they actually are in compliance with different regulations, like the SIS program or MasterCard's SDP program, and they're actually in full compliance and they still happen to them, then there should be zero... to no liability. Their insurance company might find a way to make them still pay the money anyways on that fraud insurance. But as far as like law enforcement is concerned and people taking away their ability to authorize credit cards, it depends on how severe and how bad the situation is and, of course, what they did in the interim. Because I don't know if everybody here is aware of this, but merchants are normally 100% responsible for every transaction. If you ever have fraud on your card and you need to get a charge back or whatever because it's like, this is not my card, or it's not my purchase, you call the bank, you say, I want to initiate a charge back, I want my money back, the merchant is responsible for that because they did not check their ID, they did not swipe the card, they did not check the signature. Because they didn't do that, it was their fault that the fraud happened, and they should pay for it. Yes?
One thing in which that does not exactly apply, and which is really scary, and just what I learned about the hard way, is that if you're using check cards, which are basically, you know, issued by Visa and stuff, you cannot do chargebacks.
Okay, let's talk about check cards for a minute because that's a very important point. And let me look for somebody. How much time do we have left? Am I done? Okay, check cards. Last one. Check cards. How long ago was that, by the way, sir? A few years ago. Okay, good answer. The question was check cards, liability, chargebacks, all that fun stuff doesn't really apply to them. As of last summer, Visa and MasterCard joined together and said every check card that carries our logo must have a minimum of a $10,000 prevention on it. Period. Period. Yes, that's very true. Okay. So and they're very upset about this because they said these transactions are not the same vulnerability as big ticket item real credit card transactions. But that's actually, they said, well, if you want to carry the logo, you want to have the clients, you have to have this. And Visa and MasterCard have been very strong-arming in the industry for the last 50 years. And if they want a system to go, the merchants, the cardholders, the banks, they have to comply. Otherwise, they'll just shut them off because they have like a quasi-monopoly. But that's going to change in the next 2 years.
Because the money's coming directly out of your bank.
Right. And have you all seen the crazy Citibank commercials and everything like that? Zero.